You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Argyle Chat, the weekly Argyle podcast brought to you by Plymouth Live Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Argyle Chat. I'm Stuart James and joining me today are our podcast regulars, Chris Errington and Jack Ball. Hi, chaps.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Stu.
Not guests or anything like that.
Thank you.
We've got great listeners last week.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I feel right this more week. Embraced this week, Stu.
Absolutely. So, since we spoke last week, the good times have continued for Argyle. A great start to 2019 and a 3-2 win up at Southend United. Even though our colleague here, Jack, has put Skunk Club United. I'm going to out you here, Jack.
Until I was doing that.
Are you trying to trip me up?
The listeners might be surprised to know that we do have a sort of script that we work to. And Jack's typed out the script and got Skunk Club United as
the
sure
trip.
In my defence, we do have a meeting in 25 minutes, so it was a bit of a rush. But well done, you noticed it.
Indeed. Well, you went to Southend United a cracking win for our goal.
It was a very good win, I think. After 11 days without a fixture, we weren't exactly sure whether that would work in Argyle's favour or not. Some people say, you know, if you win a game, you want a game to come quickly so you can build on that. But Argyle found themselves maybe on the back foot a little bit in the first 5-10 minutes. But apart from that, I'd say Argyle had a fantastic game. They played some really good football, scored goals at crucial times, which I'm sure Chris will talk more about in a second. And they've just built from there. And there was a scary end, which again we'll talk about in a bit, but Argyle held on and 6 points from 2 games after, well, 7 points from 3 games actually, going back to the Burton game towards the end of 2018 is a great return, and not many of us that were at AFC Wimbledon would have thought they would have been getting those many points in those games.
Absolutely. Chris, you spoke to me on Monday and said it was a pretty comfortable win, although the scoreline wasn't reflective of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, if the game had finished 3-0 like it was in the 85th minute, I don't think that would have been that far away from a reflection of the game. I thought Argyle were comfortable, particularly in the second half. They got the goal in the first half. Good finish from Anthony Sarcevic after a defensive mistake. And after that, I couldn't really see Southend coming back. They started with one up front. That was getting them nowhere. They changed to two up front. That didn't really get them anywhere. It was comfortable for the defence. Carl Leverin had very little to do. And the second goal was crucial, because at the start of the second half, you just felt like Southend had probably had a bit of a telling off from their manager, Chris Powell. They were on the front foot. And then really from Argyle's first attack in the second half, Freddie Ledapo went through and scored against his former club. And you could just see that took all the air out of Southend's enthusiastic start to the second half. Argyle got the third, and at 3-0 down, they were playing, you know, some really pretty good football, weren't they?
It was bizarre. Jan Songo's doing one-touch passing. Honestly, Jan Songo's been one of the best players for Argyle this season, but it was the most un-Jan Songo-like performance with some of those passes.
It just goes to show, though, didn't it? You know, you start winning games and that confidence comes back so quickly.
And then, you know, it was a crazy last few minutes, and it ends up 3-2, which is still a good result. Obviously, goal difference would have been nice if it had stayed 3-0, and it did make it a bit tense. You know, when you're trying to write intros for stories and things like that, late goals are a nightmare, aren't they?
Well, Chris knows full well that I started to write my match report, because, you know, I'm live blogging, I'm trying to turn it into a match report so it can be done almost as the full whistle's been done. So I started it and said, great start for Argyle, 6 goals, no goals conceded. And then I changed it to no goals from open play, and as I delete that again, only 2 conceded. So it can be a bit of a nightmare.
It was a bit tense towards the end. Thankfully they held on, but it was closer than you'd have liked in the end.
I think we were all quite glad that the second goal of Southend came in the 92nd minute, and there weren't another 10 minutes to go, because that would have been a bit too nervous for us all, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to that one in a minute, Jack. It sounds though, Ruben Ramirez, Anthony Sarcevic, 2 players that you've named here, but I don't think they're alone. There seem to be a few Argyle players really coming back to form right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think the two that have been named, just because of their goal scoring record, I think Ruben Ramirez has got 4 goals in the last 3 games, and Sarcevic has scored 2 goals in 2 games. And Derek Adams has spoken before about the need for, especially Sarcevic, I think he's been quite critical of in the past, for not getting some more chances and not scoring more goals. And you could see in the first half against Southend that Freddie Ladapo had a few chances that he didn't put away, And when obviously the first goal went in, the first chance he had in the second half, he did finish. And I think you can almost see that burden be lifted off when other players are helping him out, and not all the goals are relied on Ladapo. But it's not just the goal scoring, even Graham Carey's been better of late, the defenders have been better of late, so it's all round a much better team performance.
Yeah, well, I did that piece last week, and Freddie Ladapo was second out of all the players in League One in terms of being involved or scoring goals of the season. I think it was like 52% or something like that. Mm. Really high percentage of goals that he's been involved with at Argyle.
It's important that he doesn't have all that pressure on his shoulders. Yeah. And I thought Anthony Sarcevic was superb on Saturday. One of his best games I've seen him have for Argyle. He looks fully fit. He looks strong. He was powerful on the ball. The only way Southend could stop him was really to foul him. And that's what led to, ironically, Sarcevic being booked. He was tackled from behind by Simon Cox. It was a niggly tackle. Sarcevic reacted to it and got booked for the retaliation, and that's just one thing he needs to be careful of. He's had 4 yellow cards in the last 4 games. He's on 8 yellow cards in League One games this season. He's only 2 away. 2 more would see him get a 2-match ban. There is a cut-off point for that ban to be avoided, but it's not until the 37th league game. So basically, he cannot afford more than 1 booking in the next 10 league games. Otherwise, he's going to have a ban. So he needs to be careful of that, but his performances on the pitch in general have been excellent. And Ruben Lemira's 4 goals in 3 games. I mean, we've spent a lot of our time this season on the podcast talking about Lemira's and why is he not in the team? Why is he in the team and not playing that well? Why isn't he doing this, that, and the other? And he's taken the chance that he's got at the moment. He's scoring goals in the second half. He was at Southend. He was excellent. He really was positive and bright. And you don't want to get carried away from 2 games, say against Oxford and Southend, who are both perhaps not going through good spells at the moment. But nonetheless, Carey, Sarcevic and Lemirez behind Ladapo when they're on their games, mm-hmm. that is a potent attacking threat. 6 goals in the last 2 games. Can they do it against some of the better sides? We'll soon find that out, because Portsmouth, Peterborough, Luton, Sunderland are all lurking not too far down the fixture list. But if those 4 players and the 3 behind Ladapo in particular can play like they've done in the last couple of games, then it is looking more promising for us.
And stay fit, isn't it? That's the thing with Sarcevic, because as frustrating as for the fans, it must be so frustrating for Derek Adams, because he knows there's a player there. He's shown, Sarcevic has shown that there is a player there, just needs to stay fit, a bit like Jamie Ness.
And most frustrating for Sarcevic himself, of course.
Freddie
Ladapo, going back to Southend, didn't score a goal in 12 appearances, I think it was, when he was at Roots Hall. Goes back there at the weekend, and they must. I mean, Southend fans were probably dreading that.
We spoke
they?
About that before the game. I said, what are the chances of Ladapo scoring a goal in this game? And it was his first goal since December the 8th, so a big lift for him. And he was great. His physicality impresses me. And not only that, because quite often you see tall physical strikers might not be the best with the ball at their feet, but he's great with that as well. And on his game, he's fantastic because he's heavily marked these days, you know. Mm. Anyone that has, what is it now, 14 goals, 13 in the
13,
league?
13 goals in total, 12 in the league. So
they're going to be being marked heavily by the defence. You know, every manager, that opposition manager that I speak to, names Freddie Ladapo as one of the, you know, it was Graham Carey in years gone by, it's Freddie Ladapo at the moment. And the fact that he's still doing well is impressive when you're being marked by 2 or 3 men.
I think when you take into account the fact he is the focal point to the attack as well, that's why he's so heavily marked. You know, you take him out of the game and they don't have that focal point, it's harder for Argyle to attack, I guess.
It's interesting where the difference between Freddie Ladapo and Ryan Taylor is that they both have good physicality about them. They can take care of themselves when they're being battered by 2 centre-backs. Ryan Taylor, I do think, is better at holding the ball up and linking with people. But what Freddie Ladapo has got is he's got the pace to be able to run in behind those defenders rather than having to play all the time with his back to goal. And so if there is a ball put for a channel for him to run onto, like David Fox for Ladapo's goal at Southend, he's got the pace to leave those defenders, you know, trailing in his wake. And it's that extra bit of pace and mobility that he's got that allows him to get the chances he's had. And, you know, he's got 13 goals. I can think of, you know, almost off the top of my head, of another 10 chances he's had this season. Really good chances. I try not to exaggerate too much, but he could have had 20 goals this season without too much. He had 2 good chances in the first half against Southend, didn't he?
It's funny as well, because in the media box where we were sat, one of the Southend, I don't know what paper he was writing for, but he turned to us and said, "Oh, so how many goals have Faye Ladapo got now?" And we said 14, and he almost fell off his chair. He couldn't quite believe it. And, you know, Argyle had their fair share of strikers that just couldn't hit a barn door. with a bazooka.
Having been successful, Paul Hayes was one who we loaned a couple of years ago. He scored against Argyle every time he played against us. We signed him on loan, not a goal.
And it's just weird how that can happen sometimes. Mm. But Ladapo told you, didn't he, after the game, that he did, the system is just working for him with Derek Adams.
Mm. Yeah, Argyle defensively, that's the back line's probably been their Achilles heel this season. That seems to have improved, though. I mean, given the last 5 minutes up at Southend, where one was a penalty, one was a bit of a freak goal, they were on course for a clean sheet.
Yeah, I don't think it's easy to say, but I don't think Southend would have scored if they hadn't been given the penalty. I saw the replay, Jack. I think it's a bit harsh, don't you? I mean, Edwards is turned away. I mean, I've seen them giving them, I've seen them not giving, but that was a penalty. And then the second goal was one from the halfway line. I thought for 85 minutes they defended well. Carl Leatherin in goal really didn't have a lot of saves to make, did he, Jack?
It's two games in a row.
Anything that they that Southend had was dealt with fairly well. I thought Ryan Edwards is getting better. He's you know, good in the air. I thought Ashley Smith-Brown, fair play to him. Not always being convinced by him at left back, but two starts at right back and he's done really well, hasn't he, Jack? And Gary Sawyer gives you the experience at left back. And although Leatherin hasn't had a lot to do, you know, perhaps his experience, and he maybe talks to the defence a bit more, the defence looks better. I would still just add the caveat, though, that I'm not sure that Oxford and Southend are two particularly strong teams at the moment.
You say that, though, but we spoke about Southend. Yeah. We're 10th in the table. They have won a lot of games. They lost a lot as well.
Yeah, and they had quite a few injuries as well.
That's true.
And you know, Southend had quite a few injuries, which is why they had some young kids on the bench. And Oxford had a bad day, and Carl Robinson said as much when he spoke to you afterwards. So I'm not trying to put a dampener on it, but just be a little bit cautious. We don't think that everything is all hunky-dory and everything is until Argyle play, you know, perhaps an informed team. And then that will be a real test of, is the defence starting to take shape? You know, are the attacking players that we know have got ability, have they actually found their form? Or have they just benefited from playing against two iffy teams? That's the only thing. But I mean,
and perhaps these two games have come at the right time then, because sometimes you need that to get the confidence of the defence, you know, regardless of who you're playing. And you keep a clean sheet and arguably deserve a clean sheet again, then that's going to do wonders for confidence, at least.
Yeah, that's right. We mentioned that second goal a few times now, and that's the goal everybody was talking about. Southend's Charlie Coleman, 17 years old, on his debut, scores from inside his own half. I mean, they made a fair bit of it on the EFL programme on Saturday night. How do you guys see it? Was it a fantastic goal or a goalkeeper mistake? What I'd say is, when you see Leatherin, I mean, you kind of have sympathy for him, really, because it's difficult to go chasing a ball back like that, and you don't look particularly elegant when you do it, do you?
It didn't look very elegant.
It looks very comical, doesn't it?
It does.
I can't remember who it was that was on the Quest show, but he was saying that, you know,
Dean Ashton,
that's right. It was hard to run back and look at the ball and try and sort of
with your arms in the air
coordination whilst running the wrong way. So, yeah, you can take that away from it. But Charlie Kelman, I mean, if we weren't there reporting an Argyle, I think you'd have said that was a goal that deserves to win a game. And the only sad thing for him is it really meant nothing. Yeah. But I'm sure he'll never forget it. And it was just one of those goals that, ironically, that me and Chris didn't really see, because not only were we trying to
change your intro,
once, and there's a big post in the way of the goal as well, so had to wait to see it back on the replay to see it properly. But I was a bit critical of Leatherin when I saw a replay on the TV, but perhaps I was being a bit harsh.
I think you're not expecting somebody to shoot from that distance, are you? So if you're the goalkeeper, you wouldn't expect him to be on the 6-yard box when the ball's in the opposition half, would you? You'd be expecting to be out and around the edge of the penalty area. You're not expecting somebody to shoot from there. It probably caught him completely by surprise. I think it caught most people completely by surprise. He could have perhaps done better, but fortunately it didn't count for anything. Yeah. But I'm sure Carl Leatherin will be fully aware of the next few games, that, you know, being particularly careful not to be called off his line. Yeah. I think, you know, you could pick faults in anything, but something like that, you've got to give credit, particularly to a 17-year-old lad, to have the nerve to do that on your debut. Because, you know, if that goes horribly wrong, you know, on your debut, everyone's going to be thinking, well, who's this lad? You know, what's he think he's doing?
I'd rather Leatherin got that out of the way in a game where it didn't actually cost them anything. You know, you don't see more than one or two of those in the season, do you?
Absolutely. What's the situation with the goalkeepers then? We've spoken about Matt Macy before. Is it Carl Leatherin's spot to lose now?
I would say it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what the point Chris made before is a fantastic point. And, Leatherin might have been a backup goalkeeper for a lot of his career, but he seems, the defence has improved in the two games that Levin's been in goal, and I think you can't underestimate that. I've said before in this podcast, from what I see, and admittedly I'm not on the pitch, but from what I see from where I sit, Mason doesn't command his box particularly well, and that's something he really needs to work on. Now, Levin, I think, deserves quite a bit of credit. He may not have been tested much as a goalkeeper, but the defence look a lot more organised. Now, is that down to him? I'm sure part of it is. And Derek Adams very rarely changes a winning team. So for me, yeah, it's now Levin's jersey to lose.
Well, I mean, he retained his place for the game against Southend. You know, Matt Macy was fit. He hadn't been fit before that. And Derek Adams stuck with the same winning side, which he does so often. They won against Southend. So I'd be surprised if Levin lost his spot. If Argyle are winning games and keeping clean sheets and doing better, I suppose the one thing to add into the mix, and it's all speculation, but there's a lot of talk about Remy Matthews and could he come back, could he not come back because of what's happened at Bolton, and he should have been signing an 18-month contract with them, and because of financial issues and problems up there, that's not happened. Is there any chance he could come back? You only have to look on Twitter to see Argyle fans bombarding Remy Matthews with, come back home and things like that.
But you made a point about his Twitter as well on Saturday, what he said, didn't you?
Yeah, that, you know, he was at home watching Sky, Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports and things like that, and no professional player wants to be doing that.
Absolutely.
So there is no hard and fast evidence to suggest that Remy Matthews will come back to Argyle. I know lots of Argyle fans would like it, but your gut feeling is probably that that they'll carry on with Macy and Levin, and at the moment Levin has got the shirt and Argyle have won the last two games. So yeah, in answer to the question, I think it's his spot to lose now. Yes.
Well, welcome back to the second part of the podcast. We're going to start with a question from Richie PAFC that we received on Twitter. Dear Argyle chat, regardless of our league position, our midfield and league striker are working well as individuals and as a unit. Should the club be investing in extending the contracts of Sarcevic, Carey, Lemires, Fox and Ladapo?
Yes.
Right, moving on.
Sarcevic signed a 2-year contract last summer, so he will still have into next season. Carey and Lemires and Fox, we don't know because Argyle don't tell you what they're up to, but I suspect they're out of contract this coming summer. And Ladapo, again, they've not confirmed, but when I asked Derek Adams about this, he said that he's with us for a wee while, which I took to mean two-year contract. So Sarcevic and Ladapo have still got another 18 months to go, I think, on their contracts. And with the best will in the world, I know Ladapo's doing really well and what have you. You might want to sit down and talk to him at the end of the season, but perhaps not now. Mm. That leaves Carey, Lemires and Fox. And then it's, you know, who knows, isn't it? I mean, the way that Carey and Lemires particularly are playing at the moment, of course you'd like them to stay. But whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know.
I've got a feeling this might be David Fox's last season with Argyle. I don't think he's been at his best this season.
He's 35, so you know you're only ever going to offer David Fox one more year as a contract until he's played a lot of games this season.
Yeah.
Whether he wants to carry on playing in Plymouth, it's a difficult one. Carey and Lemires is a fascinating one. Lemires is going to want to be playing regular football, isn't he? And he hasn't done that enough for Argyle. He's played plenty of games, but he hasn't always started games. Mm. Carey's not been up to the high standards that he has been before, but I mean, I still think he's one of Argyle's best players. So I would certainly be talking to Carey and Lemires and trying to get something sorted out. Yeah, absolutely.
The interesting thing with Carey as well, I mean, remember when we did the story when he did sign the contract, Argyle quite clearly pushed the boat out in order to keep him.
Yep.
It sounds as though he perhaps hasn't justified that massive increase in wage.
He did last season. I mean, he was talking more this season. This season he hasn't been as good, but then you could say that for everybody pretty much until the last couple of games. I don't know what if you could keep Carey and Lemires, I think why wouldn't you? But
it's funny because I think for the last God knows how many transfer windows we've been thinking, oh, Carey could be going this time, Carey could be going this time, and he's stayed. And actually, I think his stock is probably lowest it's been for a fair bit in terms of potential recruiters. Now, if we're led to believe that Argyle haven't had much interest in him in the last couple of year or two, then I don't see why that would be changing now. So I think
if he was a free if he was a free agent in the summer, I'm sure there'll be plenty of
yes, of course. But I think Lemiris and Carey, for me, definitely. I'm sure Adams will be working on something. But Chris is right. Lemiris is going to be wanting to play first team football, and he's now showing the goal scoring side, and that'll be keeping plenty of other people's eyes open, I think.
I guess everyone thought Lemiris was going to be like the understudy to Carey, really. And he's got to that stage now where, as you say, he'll want first team football, but won't want to be the understudy.
Yeah, and Lemiris is playing better than Carey at the moment.
Eight goals,
he's not had that many starts this season. He's got eight goals, which is double, more than double that Graham Carey's got. And he's playing really well at the moment. So why wouldn't you want to keep him? I suspect the question from Richie is partly based around the fact that, you know, Sonny Bradley ran out of contract. Oscar Threlkeld's contract ran out, didn't they? And they ended up leaving. And
the problem with this is, though, that the fans, and I regard myself in this, and we're all football fans here, but I think football clubs have a tough time sometimes, because if a player's sold for a decent amount of money, you have no ambition, you're selling our best players. If they then don't sell them and their contract runs down, they go on for free, you didn't make any money off them. Whatever a club do, they can never really win.
I think it's worth pointing out to fans as well that you have to remember the influence of agents in today's game as well. You know, agents are in their players' ears all the time saying, don't sign a contract, wait until the summer, see what options come up, we can get you a better deal elsewhere. You know, and at the end of the day, football fans also need to think, well, what would I do in that situation? You know, if they're working in a 9-to-5 job, someone comes in and offers them twice as much money, what are they going
to
do?
And you need to remember as well that these players have no loyalty as such to Plymouth as a city. You know, a lot of Argo fans are from Plymouth and have supported them for 10 years. Others have moved down here and it's a job to them. I'm sure they care, I'm sure they love it, but that's as far as it goes. You know, their heart might may be elsewhere.
Sarsavink and Ladapo are sort of 6 months into 2-year contracts, we suspect. Carey and Lemiris are out of contract in the summer, so I think I'd be sitting down and having conversations with them and seeing how things might unfold. But once you get into the last 6 months of a contract, then the power is pretty much in the player's hands, because they can really decide whether they want to see out their contracts and then assess their options in the summer, or they commit themselves to a club now.
I mean, Argo were in that situation with Carey 2 years ago, weren't they? And they were trying to talk to him and get him to sign a contract, and he wanted to wait.
Just thank you to Richie for sending the question as well. We're more than happy to receive questions on Twitter if you get in contact. So thanks very much for that.
Indeed. Reports suggest that Argyle have been or they've agreed terms with Ipswich Town striker Jordan Roberts. Sounds as though he's agreed terms with three or four clubs. Bradford, MK Dons are also interested in him, and now it's up to him to make a decision as to where he goes. I did a piece yesterday, and it was interesting to see the reaction of the Argyle fans, because a lot of them are saying, we don't need him, we need defenders.
I think I agree with that, if you're to believe that Dagenham's only going to make two signings. That's the thing that puzzles me. For me, if you need to make two signings, defence is a priority. However, if Dagenham hadn't said he's only going to make two, I would have said, I've said it before. I think we need that sort of winger position, especially with Wild going and possibly Ainsworth leaving. Jeffcott's quite young. Grant's injured at the moment, Joel Grant. So you've really not got a huge amount of options. So I can see the interest in it, but it did surprise me a bit if Derek Adams really is only going to sign two players.
That's what he said, but I think that's assuming that nobody else moves out. Maybe if Nylon Ainsworth moves out somewhere, that might free up space for another player. I do think, you know, with Ladapo and Taylor, they're the big central strikers. Maybe a slightly different striker would benefit Argyle. Jordan Roberts is the agreed terms. It would be a loan until the end of the season. I don't think there was any talk about it being a permanent deal.
No.
It came from a usually reliable source, so you would suspect there's some mileage in it. And we'll see what happens. I mean, for him, you know, Milton Keynes is pretty close to Ipswich. Bradford and Plymouth is quite a long way from Ipswich. So whether that would influence anything or not, I don't know. If they are going to sign two players, they clearly need a centre-back, in my opinion. At least one. If Ryan Edwards is returning to form, you know, maybe you could get away with one. But, you know, I would have probably said a couple of weeks ago, maybe even two centre-backs.
They've got Threlkeld now for the right back position if they need it.
They've got Threlkeld for right back and centre midfield as well. So if you're going to make two signings, maybe a centre back and that sort of change of pace striker, somebody that can give you a little bit different to Ladapo and Taylor.
The interesting thing about Jordan Roberts is, and we've spoken to a fair few players before on the podcast, Rory Fallon being one of them, is the strikers. If you know, Ladapo's played 13 goals. Now, are you going to want to come and sit on the bench? And I think that will play a big part. He'll speak to all clubs linked. And I'm sure whichever can guarantee him first team football could be the choice. He's not going to want to come to Plymouth, Argyle, and be on the bench every week.
No, he wouldn't want to go anywhere, I guess.
can do that. Moving on then, guys. Coventry and Walsall at home next. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, they're two important games because with the two wins against Oxford and Southend, Argyle have got themselves within touching distance of quite a few clubs there. 5 points behind Walsall, who are 16th. So it's scrunched up that bottom of the table quite a lot. They've done some good work retrieving a difficult Christmas period by putting some 7 points on from three games. Coventry are 9th, I think. Walsall are 16th. They're at home to both of them. You know, if they could get 6 points, that'd be fantastic. They would be out of the relegation zone. Even four would be good. They need to make the most of these two home games coming up, though, because then they have Wickham away and then they've got Portsmouth and Peterborough coming up around the corner. So these are two important games. They need a good return of points from these two games to get themselves maybe out of the bottom four and then give themselves a fighting chance of staying out of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 4 points would be a good return and maybe a draw against Coventry and a win against Walsall. Obviously, Ruben Lamiris will be up for it against Coventry, I'm sure. He came on in the second half against Coventry in the away fixture. But if they can remain unbeaten and get three and win one of them, then that's a great record. And then it takes the points tally to what? You're looking at 10, 11 points from 15. So that's a good return.
Yeah. Just one final thing, a bit of self-promotion from ourselves. Chris, you spoke to former Tottenham and West Ham defender Callum Davenport, didn't you, who's now living in Devon?
Yeah, it's completely away from Argyle, but Callum Davenport was a very highly rated defender in his time. He moved from Tottenham to West Ham for £3 million in his day, and that was a lot of money at the time. He's had a very different life after retiring from Premier League football, and he's discovered religion and faith, and it's led him, and I won't go into the story because it would take forever, we'd be having the podcast for another half an hour, but he's coaching a football team in Whitley in the north of Plymouth, and he's getting very involved in the community there. He has some fascinating stuff to say about his time as a Premier League footballer, how he discovered faith at a church in Plymouth, how he's coaching these kids, and how he sees how he can share his experiences of life and faith and football, and how he can share that to kids in the local area and to anyone that wants to listen to him. So it was fascinating to chat to him in Porky's Cafe in Whitley. I tell you what, that was a fantastic place to sit and have a chat with him. We were right in the heart of the community. It was great to see Dave and all the guys there. They made us very welcome. We had a good chat with Callum. It'll be on the website very soon. I would say this, wouldn't I, but I think it's a really good read, so I hope you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, well, I've subbed it and it is a very good piece. Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Chris, Jack, thank you ever so much for joining me.
Thank you, Stu.
And we'll be back again next week with more of the same. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Sorry, it's worth pointing out, just very quickly, we'll be back on the Wednesday next week because I've got a game against Walsall on the Tuesday night. So next Wednesday, the podcast should come out.
Indeed. I really should read the script. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. We are always happy to hear from you, and if you have any questions for our panel, please tweet them to our Twitter account @HeraldPAFC or visit our Facebook page, Plymouth Argyle The Herald. Thanks for listening.